You're an entrepreneur, and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CBNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your web design, SEO, and digital marketing needs. And this is a little bit of a different chat. Again, this is part two of what is our definition for what it means to be a CEO. And we've had our first 100 episodes of the I Am CEO podcast. So over on the CEO Chat podcast, we wanted to definitely look and drill down and hear exactly from real entrepreneurs, startup founders, and business owners exactly what it means to them to be a CEO. And there's loads of great information and loads of great insight into that perspective on like how being a CEO has changed, or if it is exactly what it always has been. And if you've listened to part one, you heard a little bit of some of the great insights that some of our guests have had. And if you listen to this, you'll hear even more. And this is packed full of great perspective and information about the idea of a CEO being and having freedom, with some people maybe not even looking at themselves as CEOs. But again, you should listen to this mashup because it gives such great insight into maybe the future of entrepreneurship, of how real CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business owners kind of perceive themselves and how they define what it means to be a CEO. So what I want you to do is sit back and enjoy this I Am CEO mashup of what it means to be a CEO.
I think it means being free. And I know people a lot of times say freedom, but being free. I definitely did corporate world for a while and would get frustrated when what I wanted to do in the business, it wasn't that it wasn't appreciated, it wasn't that they didn't think it was right or good. It was impossible to implement because it's a corporation. Everything has to be done a certain way in a certain order, and it has to be very much the same everywhere. And so when I stepped away from that to do my own thing, I felt almost lost because I didn't know, where do I start? Where do I go? Where do I go from here? And then I realized, oh, well, I can go anywhere because I'm free to do anything. And so in being free and working for myself, you know, I wanted to have a retreat space in Cambodia. So I did it. I wanted to change my schedule. So I did it. I wanted to change how we bill clients. I can actually do all the things I want to do. And it's not like knee-jerk reactions. These are gut reactions that I feel make the user experience friendly, make me able to reach more people. I think, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the law of income, but the law of income is, you know, the more people who you bring value to, the more lives bring value to, is the correlation to higher income. And so we wonder why like athletes make so much money. Well, think about when they play a game, how many millions of people's lives are they adding value to? Not saying that it's the best value, but it's, you know, they're bringing something to them. So for me, I'm always trying to figure out how can I bring what I love so much and I think people can do to more people. And if I wasn't my own CEO, I would probably not get my way as much as I want. I think it's when you own that title and you really go, okay, this is mine and what feels right for me. You're going to come up with ideas that are really going to take you to the next level. And that's pretty darn cool. And it's very freeing. And this world's so big. We have so many things we can do in it. It would really suck to feel like you were tied down.
And actually, Gresham, I do have to quickly throw in a quick story. With one of your other articles that you had done, you actually made me think about what the heck an entrepreneur actually is. And I use that in my slides in every single one. So remember, you never know what article that you're writing because it could affect and change your life. I actually quit my job as a physician in order to pursue my dream as an entrepreneur because of it. So I will say CEO means Chief Entrepreneurial Officer. Entrepreneur comes from the Latin word meaning to push forward. So being an entrepreneur, you get to push boundaries, extend far past initial possibilities, and you're not really pinholed by creation, by invention, or anything like that. So as a CEO, what a true CEO does is pushes the boundaries and pushes past that point when you're scared. because you should be scared or else you're not dreaming big enough. And once you push past that almost uncomfortable feeling, there's nothing in the world that can stop you and lead your team in that same direction.
So for me, this is an interesting question to consider, because I sometimes think, well, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not really a CEO. But for me, being a CEO really means having the freedom and the ability to choose and create a business that really is in alignment with who I am, with my purpose, and what I have to share with the world. So being a CEO, to me, it feels like a gift, right? Because it's allowing that freedom of choice. It's allowing me to tap into that because we all have that power of choice. And it's allowing me to be a creator and create what I want. But it's also allowing me to have an impact and really support my clients in having an impact. So I also feel like being a CEO brings its own sense of responsibility and leadership as we lead our clients, or if it's a bigger company, employees. But for me personally, it has that sense of responsibility and leadership. And it means, you know, being supportive, also asking for support when needed. You know, it means growth. It means the ability to pivot. Like, I pivoted from consulting to coaching. So really having that flexibility. But I mean, it really boils down to this idea of the freedom to choose and create a business that is fully in alignment with who I am, my values, and the message I have for the world.
To me, it means being a servant leader. Because I run a small business, I have no desire of running a very large business or franchising my business, so to speak. So I want to be very hands-on. So my understanding, my definition of a CEO is someone who's a servant leader, which basically means I'm out front doing everything that I'm asking you to do. Either I've done it or I'm still doing it and you can see me doing it. So me personally, in my business, that means you see me training clients. Eventually I'll stop doing that, but you would have seen me do it. So you know that I can do that. I don't have any problem with cleaning equipment and cleaning up and straightening up and doing all the dirty work, because that's kind of what a servant leader does. So I'm right there in the trenches with my team, helping them to understand that I'm one of them. And that's my definition of a CEO.
Okay. So again, I'm a little bit, I think, unconventional in this. I've always been a dreamer and I've always wanted to kind of live in this sort of fantasy world where I'm able to do whatever I want with my time and my money and my energy and travel a lot and just kind of do whatever I feel called to do at that time. And so being a CEO means that I am truly in control of all my time. And it means that as things in our life mold and change, or as my husband's called away more for work, or he needs to spend more time away, it means that I really get to lead our family in whatever direction I feel is important at that time. So it means taking risks, making failures in order to make me stronger. And for me, it's all about my own personal development to make me a stronger person than I was before.
To me, being a CEO, I look at it very similarly to how I kind of look at leaders and leadership. And I think being a CEO, I have this grand vision that I kind of bring to the table. And I think it's my job to really convey and portray this vision to other people that really believe in it, like my team, my employees, my partners, stuff like that. And as a CEO, I think the biggest role is to convey this vision and to really execute this vision. And I think the biggest thing I've learned over the years is that it's the hardest thing as a CEO is to keep everyone on the same path, looking forward towards the same vision, right? Like, you might be able to get people to do that for a day or a week. And then if you stop kind of hammering that same vision in that you've got in your mind that everyone kind of signed up for in the beginning, then people are going to stray off, right? Their visions are going to change over time and things are going to kind of defer and all that kind of stuff. So I think the biggest thing that I've kind of learned as what it is to be a CEO is to really just get everybody on the same page and just to create this belief system within a company that everyone believes in the same vision and the same motto and those types of things. That's really changed the way I hire, the way I partner with people and stuff like that over the years. Because before, it was all about, okay, who's the most talented person I can get for the cheapest salary? And then I realized, you know what, if I've got people that really believe in the vision and they're as passionate about making this vision come to life as I am, all the other things will really come into place. Like, they'll learn what they need to learn to really get there. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned. So I think as a CEO, if you can really focus on cultivating a beautiful vision and getting everyone around it to believe and buy in, I think that's the greatest thing in the world. And the best example I can use is like, you know, like as a, like, let's say you're a basketball team, right? You've got all these players that play all these positions and do all these things. But as the coach, I think a coach position is very similar to the CEO position. Your job is to bring all of these people together to commit to one vision and to one goal and have them perform at that level. And I think that's what I look at as a CEO.
For me, it's freedom. It's freedom and fulfillment, because it's the freedom of, you know, being able to, like, my business is online. So I have the freedom of being able to live wherever I want to and being able to move around the world. You know, like, I am 30 years old and I've lived in 7 different cities, all the major cities in the world. So it's been really great, right? So, you know, like, so that's like the biggest one for me. It's freedom. Like, as I said, like, owning a business online is really the thing for me. And then the other one, I think, is, can I say too?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
So for me, it's also the fact that I get to do what I'm passionate about. So to wake up in the morning and really, like, be happy and excited and, like, really take on the day with a different spin, rather than like, oh, I'm going to have to go to work to do what I'm told and, like, work on someone else's dream. Like, I get to wake up every morning and, yeah, I'm going to have problems. There's going to be issues. And it's not easier, but it's stuff that I'm passionate about. I'm happy and excited to learn more about it, right? Like, it's not something, it feels like, for me, when I used to be employed, like, it feels like you are being, you know, when you go at school and you get, like, the teacher that tells you, like, oh, you have to study this, subject, and, you know, like, and I don't like that. I don't like feeling restricted. I don't like being told what to do. I like the freedom of, like, waking up and doing what I love. And if there's an issue, it's related to what I do and that I love. So it's much easier and more fun.
Being a CEO, I think of the word authoring, right? I love the word authoring because I am authoring my life, which means that I am taking complete and total responsibility for the script that is my reality. And so when I understand how to take complete and total responsibility for absolutely everything that happens in front of me, I am the chief executive officer of my reality. And in some of the teachings that I share what's called SRA, which it's S-R-A. It stands for see, realize, act. We see what must be done. We realize that it's our responsibility, and we act as if we are, you know, God's agent on the scene, or, you know, spirit's agent on the scene, or master of the scene. And that to me is what a CEO is, where we can understand that we are all powerful, every single one of us. We have all the energy within us to author the life that we want to have, to author the business that we want to have. We just have to know how to create strategy and intelligent approaches for us to, you know, make the mistakes we need to, have the successes that we need to, and just get into it and work on writing the story in a way that brings us to our highest excitement.
I have a small company, so I have 3 people that work for me. And I think being a CEO for me means that I'm leading by example. I'm showing my team so that they can be ambassadors for my brand, the best ways to do that, to help other people. And I also coach all of my employees. So I do wellness coaching for them and help them live their best lives. But our goal is to really help people. So creating brand ambassadors and people who understand the power on the end of the fork is really where we're going.
I think it is and I'm going to get a little metaphysical here on you, but I think, you know, the dictionary says it is someone in a role who influences others to achieve important goals. To me, it's more than that. That's sort of the high level view. But I think it is also has a dimension that says it's inspiring people. It's inspiring people to achieve important goals, but it's also inspiring people to help others at their highest level, work in a way that approaches their ideal self and in a way that honors and values people's dignity and their well-being. their wholeness. I think if you look at those organizations that have been around for hundreds of years, it was a great book written by a guy named Ari de Geis, who was the head of strategic planning for Royal Dutch Shell, called The Living Company. And he studied companies that had lasted over 200 years to see kind of what they had in common. And I think they all possessed a sort of a sense of reverence and in the dignity of people. And they didn't go about in a way that used people in a negative sense. They looked for ways that would optimize people's best side, the best of who they are got optimized. And I think those are the healthy companies that help people do that. They help facilitate a culture where people want to do that for each other. And so it brings out I'll give you a fun twist on that. I like to ask people, which animal in Africa is the most successful, most efficient hunter? Which wild animal is the most efficient hunter in Africa? And a lot of people want to go for, you know, maybe it's a pride of lions or tigers or whatever. When a lion goes after their prey, only about 15% of the time are they successful. And when they're working collaboratively with a pride, they only about 30%. Cheetah, which is the fastest animal on the planet, they only get about a 50% efficiency ratio. Half the time they fail. But there's another animal that always surprises people, that better than 85% of the time they go after their prey, they're successful. And it's an African wild dog. It's a spotted wild dog. And when zoologists studied them to figure out what it was that accounted for their excellence in the field and their efficiency, what they found was that they, several things. One is they loved each other. They cared about each other as a pack. Lions only come together for the hunt, and they fight among each other over spoils. It's in their DNA to be aggressive. And wild dogs, you know, they'll even bring food back to those that didn't participate in the hunt, the sick, the hurt, the old, the young, the whatever. And so they share. And when you watch them, you can go on videos, on YouTube videos, and watch them. They're happy. They're obviously very happy. They support each other. They take cues from each other. They teach their young to work as a team. They teach their young to learn tactics in the field. They don't just rely on the DNA of brute strength. And so, they focus on the long term, not just the short term. They're not selfish at all. And so you take away from that and you go, something about this animal that is so good and the way they work together. And I think that's what great CEOs try to do, is to create a culture in which people work so well together like those wild dogs. And with it comes their effectiveness. In this case, it's how frequently they bring down their prey they're pursuing in a limited, scarce market that they're operating in Africa. But I think the metaphor applies to all organizations that say it's how we work together. It's the co-laboring. It's the collaboration that makes a difference. And that means we've got to be supportive of each other. And that means, I think, for the leader, it's not about the leader, all about the leader and the ego of the leader. It's about the leader as a supporter, as a helper, as a resourcer, as someone who provides people the authority to work on their own. We sometimes call that empowerment. But I think all of those things are what make an organization successful in times that are changing very, very quickly.
For me, I am a CEO who tries to have a good combination. I am a big team person. And so I am largely focused on how I can empower my team enough while still making sure that decisions from the top are being made and are effective. And that can be a really hard line to draw. You know, you're either sort of maybe a bit too democratic sometimes, or maybe not enough. And so finding that middle ground where you're really giving the team enough tools, enough resources, enough of your time to be able to make, you know, killer decisions themselves and really impact the bottom line while still remaining, you know, I guess sort of in control. That's been a big area of focus for me, you know, I'd say in the past year. This is my first time actually running a company. I've been in executive positions several times in startups. So I've been sort of, quote, close, if you will. So really developing that team aspect of it, especially when it's a small team. And it means something to me. I care a lot about the people that I work with and who work for me. And being able to care deeply and still move the company along in a very efficient and effective way, I think is, you know, one of my core jobs.
Well, I think of that acronym as standing for two things and sort of reflecting two roles. I'd say the first is chief entropy objector. And if you know biology, all natural processes, entropy or chaos of the universe increases. So whenever we transform energy, we lose some of it to chaos. And so my main goal is to transform as much of the available energy as I have and my clients have into productive outcomes for them. And correspondingly, of course, then to minimize the energy loss towards unproductive chaos, which has a way of gaining momentum. The second, I would say, is to consider the chief empathy officer. To me, it means, you know, being able to consistently create enough space between reacting and responding to people so that my thoughts can catch up with my emotions and that other people will always feel honored during important conversations and in the process of making critical decisions.
So being a CEO really is taking whatever that mission is and making it a realization. So, you know, you can do that in a variety of ways. And it might be a product-based, you know, company, or it might be a service-based company, or it might just be a personal brand. It might be, you know, speaking and things like that would be within the personal brand. So whatever it is, whether it's services or products or personally, it really is just like what your brand and your mission statement just like alive. And kind of how that goes out in the world is whatever you're trying to do and with whatever medium. And the cool thing about, you know, the space right now, just in life and, you know, 2018, is that there's so many things are rapidly changing and there's so many different opportunities. And so like right now people ask me, oh, what's your, you know, what do you plan on doing in 5 years, you know, with coaching and this and that. And it's hard to say because there's so much that is changing. And I know that, again, my mission of educating people through, you know, different mediums will always be the same, but it might look a little bit different. So just being a CEO is just, you know, your brand, your mission, just like alive, like in the world. And however you want to do it is the best way you want to package it up is how you should do it.
For me, it means I get to make a difference in the world in the way that most matters to me. And that's really what it's all about. Another one of my little sayings to myself is I like to think that I'm making a difference. I'm making a difference in the world somehow. I want to leave my mark on other people. And when I get an email or a phone call from somebody that says, hey, Joe, I just found you. You saved me a lot of money on a supplement. Or, hey, Joe, I'm in the hospital right now and I found your articles on, say, rhabdomyolysis. And I showed it to my doctor. That actually has happened, by the way. And you just saved me a lot of pain and suffering. You know, that makes a difference to me. And so I look at myself as being a CEO is I get to make a difference in the world in the way that I think I'm best able to do that. And again, I think that's the best calling of a CEO, making a difference in the world. And that's really what gets me up in the morning and really was what does keep me up late at night. I want to try to, again, make a difference and make a difference in the lives of other people.
I think it means being like my own boss, being in charge of, you know, my daily, like my to-do list, being in charge of what I have to accomplish that day and, you know, being in charge of my own goals. Like no one else is setting goals for me. I'm setting all my goals. Like I'm every part of like a business, you know, I'm the marketer, I'm the writer, I'm the advertiser, like I'm everything. So yeah, I feel like being a CEO is really being like your own boss and making the rules and setting the goals and just going after what you want.
It means being a leader, but not a dictator. You know, a lot of what I do is create, and creativity is a collaboration, right? I mean, it's so very subjective. What works for me is not what always works for somebody else. But as the client, if this is what works for you, then that's the most important thing. That is the most important thing. And I like to get feedback. Always in the end, I'm going to be the one who makes the final decision, right or wrong, good or bad. You know, that's going to come from me. But I feel like I need to have, I mean, I want to gather people's input, because sometimes their perspective, be it different from mine, can be a better answer. And that can lead us down a different kind of path or track that I didn't envision, you know. So I think that a CEO is a leader that encompasses listening and collaboration, and someone who isn't afraid to change directions if that's what's needed. You know, someone who is, yes, in charge, but someone who is always amenable to everybody and who takes different opinions and respects those opinions and can incorporate them if those perspectives or if those ideas are better than the ones that I have. Because it's really all about making your company grow and do bigger and better things. And sometimes that comes from within, not just you, but within your organization.
For me to be a CEO, I look at a couple of different things. I think it's your responsibility to have the clear vision first. Like, you have to have the clear vision. And you also need to put people and processes in a place or in a position to grow. And I'm saying that to not, you shouldn't be the only, the end all be all. You shouldn't just be that person people go to with all questions. I think you should be empowering your people and getting them into the point where you're encouraging them to have independent thinking and try to get them to think their own thoughts and be able to problem solve on their own. So that way, when you can focus on your vision and other things, and you know that you can hand things over. I mean, if you put people in a position where they understand your expectations and they understand how you think, and you can start to mold them that way. I mean, it's empowering for them because they know that there's trust there, right? Like, they know that you're putting them in a position to where it's like, okay, I don't have to just listen to what Frank says. Even if he hands me something, if I can improve it, like, I know I have the liberty to improve it without being punished. Now, I need to make it make sense because I know there's consequences for that. But it's like, it's not a negative thing for something to not work out. But you should take that risk, you know? And that's something that I think all CEOs should really encourage, to not make people afraid of failure. Like, there's so many CEOs, I think, that make people feel like I can't mess up or I'm going to lose my job if I make the wrong decision. And that ends up, like, that's all the creativity and all the opportunity out the window, because now they're thinking in this little small bubble. So you have to give people room to make mistakes and just allow it to happen. Just keep them on the right path, you know?
I think it's something that you learn. There is a new wave of young CEOs, right? With fresh ideas, setting up companies, which I think it's really great. It does take courage to start a business, but it takes more courage to stick to it and keep it going with the same passion and the flame for your business like you had it at the beginning. And I'd really value professionals in such leading positions as CEO, as you asked, who are good communicators, their ability to listen and share information, that they're flexible and open to changes and to pivot quickly if it's necessary for their business or even the concept, the whole idea, and who are great decision makers. And I think these things I try to cultivate in my daily business and personal life as well, because this is something that they are very connected, and those things define you as a person and an individual.
I define being a CEO as using my gifts, talents, and personal experiences to help others on my terms.
Being a CEO, what it means to me is the freedom to do what I want when I want, but you can't take that to your advantage. So you do have to work hard. And I put 3 years into this company where I worked night and day when every breath was put into Vuva. Now I get a little bit more time. Now it starts to get a little bit more fun and I have a little bit more free time for myself. But it's just that freedom to do what you want and to help others. And being a CEO and being a successful CEO means to me is helping other people try to get where you are. So sometimes when you're so busy, it's people come to you. I mean, as we're speaking now, I get a text on my phone. I have a website, this, can you look at it? Can you give me your opinion? But it's hard because you're so busy that your time is precious, but you have to stop and realize that I didn't get to this point without asking 10 to 20 other people those same questions that I was just sent in a text. So I like to help others become CEOs as well. So share your knowledge and how you got there and then help other people become CEOs around you.
Well, and like I said, I love that you're doing this, that you're, I talked before we started recording, but I love that you're redefining it. Because like I said in the beginning, I wasn't somebody who said, yeah, I want to do this. But now that I am doing it, have been doing it for all these years, it really means, one, it means to me that I get to have this value-based business. And because values are so important to me, everything I do in my work is values-based. So from what I purchase, so whether I purchase recycled paper, you know, from my printer, or the policies that I set, who I work with, where I work, the hours I work, all of that is really values-driven. And then therefore, even without me saying that out loud to people, then I attract people who are in alignment with my values because it's such a part of my mission and who I am in this business. The other thing I would say is self-responsibility. When I was an employee, I was a good employee, but I always felt like, oh, I've got to stay later or work harder on this because my boss wants me to. And then when it was just me, it didn't take me long to say, oh, wait a minute, all those years, it was really me. You know, it wasn't the boss. So I really like that. I mean, people say the buck stops here in kind of a negative way. But for me, the fact that it's like I'm responsible for what happens in my business, I'm not totally responsible for the results my clients get because it is a partnership, but I am responsible for how I show up, what I bring to the world, those kind of things. And I love that. It's like, ultimately, if I'm not happy, if I'm not well, if I'm not liking what's happening with my business, it's me. And I get to then choose to do something different. So I love that. And that's for me, that's the definition of being a CEO, is that it gets to be values-based and that I am responsible.
If I had to pick one thing, being a CEO to me means leadership. Whether it's being the CEO of your life or the CEO of a multi-million dollar company, when you can lead yourself with self-responsibility, courage, integrity, truth, compassion, authenticity, purpose, you're truly leading yourself. And you can then inspire and motivate others to follow you, and you can support them to become leaders in their own right. So it's leaders creating more leaders. So that's what being a CEO means to me.
Yeah, I've had to think about this. It's like three or four things. It's one, freedom. Obviously, you've got, ultimately, you're in control of your own life and destiny. That's number one. Loneliness, like, that's a huge one. You are going to be very, 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 very lonely. You're in your own head. You've got no boss to ask stuff to. You might have a mentor. End of the day, it's on your head. And then unstable. You're going to literally need to get used to going through ups and downs and new territories every month, every week. So like those three things are really things that stand out to me when I think about my own journey and being a CEO. Also as well, like, CEOs, I think it's more of an American term to UK. I think in the UK, people may use managing director, but I think CEO is just a term someone should use. Even if you're a one-person organization or 100, if you're hiring freelancers or affiliates or brand ambassadors, you know, you're essentially running a little sales team as the ambassadors. An affiliate is kind of like, you know, again, a little sales team, or freelancers is your own content team. You know, back in the day, you might have to hire them full-time yourself, but this new world, you don't need to hire people full-time. You can do freelancers and brand ambassadors or your sales guys. So, you know, you're basically running a ship and you're bringing all of this together to kind of bring your vision to life. I think that's what a CEO is. It's not about how many people you employ or how much money you make. It's about bringing loads of things together to deliver your vision, essentially. So that's what it means to me anyway.
To me, man, especially in today's world, CEO, I think, is personal accountability and awareness. You have to have both of those to actually have a CEO mindset, because if you're on top or you're running your own business, you have to have standards for yourself. And then the thing that you have to do next is uphold yourself to those standards. And if you can't do that fundamental thing, then you're going to be inconsistent, and your inconsistency is going to drive your business downward. And then awareness, you know, as you continue on your journey of your business or being an entrepreneur, you know, you have to become aware of the way that you are, and maybe the traits that you have that are detrimental to your growth, the traits that you can leverage, that you do really well, that you leverage to continue to grow your business. But if you're not self-aware, then again, your ability to grow and learn is going to be hindered.
That was absolutely incredible. And I think all the different perspectives on what it truly means to be a CEO and how that kind of also meshes with what it means to be an entrepreneur. Maybe it's completely different. That's why I really love the opportunity to give these entrepreneurs and business owners, the guests that have been on this podcast, the actual mic to define it for themselves. And I'm hoping that it sparks a conversation around exactly what being a CEO means and if it has changed or if it has evolved. But I love the start of this kind of conversation around that. And I love all the great insights and perspectives that you heard in this mashup. So again, this is part two. So be sure to check out part three. And if you haven't, check out part one as well too, because this is really sparking the conversation around entrepreneurship, around business, around what it truly means to be a CEO. So be sure to check out the next part.